This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks, it's Rule 76.
And a good Tuesday morning to you and yours, September the 21st, 2021. The show that you've fallen in love with, DPHRO and Rothenberg here on 98.7 ESPN. Every weekday morning from 5 to 8. And I say good morning to Rick DPHRO. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. How you doing? How was your night? You were funny last night when I texted you. You're like, what are you doing up? It was like 8:15.
Because you texted me like 8:30.
It was a late one.
I was confused. Why we? I mean, listen. It's typically not late for people, but you wake up at. You said yesterday on the show that you wake up at 2 a.m.
Baby,
every morning now.
Every morning,
2 o'clock. So hang on now. I joke with the 8:30, but what time did you go to bed last night?
9:15 ish.
Early risers will get work. 9:50. So, I mean, you're not even sleeping 5 hours.
No, napping. It's extended napping is what I'm doing.
Wait. The nap, because you every time I would say nap, you'd how can I nap? I can't nap. I have kids. I'm always on the move. So now you have incorporated the nap?
No. That's what sleep is not sleep. I don't sleep. I nap.
Oh.
I don't nap during the day. No, I wish.
So all the sleep you're getting is from like a 9:15 to a 2 a.m.
Yep.
And you're walking around?
I'm walking around, fully caffeinated, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, we had tennis yesterday, had to go shopping yesterday, all sorts of fun things yesterday. Almost lost, Mickey almost passed away yesterday.
Your mother? Your mother? How?
So I'm sitting here doing the show, and I heard, like, it sounded like, I don't even know what it sounded like. It was a huge thud, and I'm like, oh no, what happened? So I go running down after the break. Apparently, she tried to step over the baby gate, and her pajama pants got caught. And she fell backwards and ripped the gate off and then dumped hot coffee all over the place.
Well, but this is not funny. This is not a young woman. I mean, this is your mother,
well put
for
together.
God's sakes.
Yeah, but she's well put together. She bounced right up.
She's well put together. Wait, did you have a moment of concern? Like, oh, my God, mom?
Yeah, I mean, when I heard the story, yeah, but then I saw her, and she looked like she was okay. It was one of those ones where it was like when you see it or you hear it or you're told the story, at first you're like, oh, no, and then the person's okay, so then you can kind of joke about it.
Now, did you have to hear the rest of the day how she had a tragic event and almost really hurt herself?
Yes.
Was she milking this for all it was worth?
Oh, yeah, and then she's got the ski. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yesterday was a treat, a real treat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. What should I get you for your birthday? I was like, I don't want anything for my birthday. Please, I have
to
get
you something.
Well,
your birthday passed.
I realized that. Because last time, last present she got me was, now I don't wear glasses. I don't wear glasses.
I think is the phrase that we're looking for.
Yeah, I don't wear glasses yet. So she's like, I didn't know what to get you, so I got you this. And I forget, it was last present I got. And she gave me an eyeglass. Like, you know the thing you put in your eyeglasses so when you take them off, they can just hang around your neck?
Like a chain?
Not a chain. It was leather. Yeah, like you see like boaters or fishermen wear.
Yes, yeah, okay.
She bought me one of those with my initials on it.
That's right.
I hate glasses.
But you don't wear glasses.
I realized that. She's like, well, just so you don't lose your sunglasses. I was like, have you ever seen me wear one of these? She's like, no, but I thought you'd like it because it had your initials on it.
Anything with your initials is always a step
great.
Up, though. Right?
Oh, it's beautiful.
So, all right, so that was for a prior birthday. This big number 40, nothing?
Well, no, I told her, listen, when you come down, if you still want to get me something, then we'll go pick something out. So she was full court pressed, and she's in a bad mood.
Because of the fall?
Yeah, no, all weekend she was in a bad mood. Had a big,
why?
Because I can't believe I didn't get you anything. I want to get you something. It's your 40th birthday. So finally, I gave in yesterday, and we went, and she helped me pick out a suit.
Well, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful
suit. You went
to
Brooks Brothers, didn't you?
No, we did not.
I got some sexy undies.
I do have sexy undies. No, she actually, she's getting it made for me, which is even better.
A custom suit.
Oh yeah, a custom suit.
That's a nice present.
It's right. That's
your,
what I said.
With your initials on it, I would imagine.
Yeah, my initials on it.
Yeah,
it'll look nice. Yeah, it's got to be engraved. And then she said, "I said, listen, I'll use this. I'll wear it on television." She's like, "Okay, this is perfect." And then she was in a good mood.
Good.
Yeah.
So all mom's trying to do is make you happy.
Yes, but you know this. I mean, you have to deal with the same thing. But in the attempt to make you happy, they make you miserable.
Oh, it's not easy. How about this the other day? My mom calls. I'm like, "Hey, Mom, how are you?" "Not great." I said, "What's wrong?" "Everything." I said, "Where do I go from here? Like, what is the appropriate avenue for me to now take knowing that every single thing in your life is wrong?" She's like,
I guess you just start going down the list, right? Like, okay,
but it's an endless list. Who can go down an endless list? Uh-oh.
It really is amazing. I feel like at some point that will be me. I hope it doesn't, but it's the same thing. Every single thing.
The parent-child dynamic is incredible. How about this, by the way? So we're mid-football, and Alex is a savage. Like, he loves football. Loves football. He sits there, 11 years old, sits there and watches from one all the way bedtime of halftime of the night game, right? Like, he is the best. So we're sitting there Sunday watching football midway through the 1 o'clock games. He goes, "Dad, yeah, I have a question." I said, "All right, what's up?" So Ben is in the midst of playing a baseball doubleheader. He says, "If Ben were to get hit in the head and had to be rushed to the hospital, would you go?" I said, "Yes, of course I would go." And then I'm thinking to myself, boy, I'm really doing something wrong that my child is unsure if I would go to visit the other child who's hospitalized from getting beamed in the head with a baseball. Uh-oh.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, that's the precedent that you set, though. As you sit on the couch while your kid's playing a doubleheader because you don't want to watch football instead of watching him play baseball.
Right.
I hope that makes you feel bad.
But that's different than if he was injured, if he was really hurt. I mean, come on, if he gets beamed in the head, of course I'm going to be at the hospital.
What if it's a playoff game, though? Well, what if this is a playoff game?
I forgot. Why would he be playing baseball during January?
Well, why ask why?
You're a loser.
Travel team goes to a tournament in Florida.
Oh, Florida, yeah.
And all of
then what
now,
am I going to do? If he gets hit in the head in Florida, I'm here in New York. What am I going to do? Get on a plane?
Well, so you're not traveling to Florida.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, you have to give me a scenario that actually makes sense for me. No, am I? The Giants are in the midst of a playoff game, which I haven't seen in years, and someone is with him and he's in Florida. What am I going to do? I think I'm a bad guy. Unless if he's in peril, if they're like, you know, something bad could happen, there's a hematoma, maybe. But if he's going to be okay and he's just resting comfortably, I mean, what am I going to do? Get on a plane now?
Now, here's the better question, though. So, in the midst of next Sunday's game, right? Again, I mean, the Giants have to win this game. They have to.
They better
win this game. You get a phone call.
By the way, completely dead. Like, Giants lose this game next Monday, explosive, and then dead. Dead inside. No, I'm not kidding. If they're 0-3 and they lose at home to the Falcons, who are so far non-competitive, completely dead.
So you get the phone call. It's a tie game. You get the phone call. Do you just say, "Okay, I'll be right there," or do you ask the question, "Is he okay? Can I watch the rest of this game?"
I forgot we had a baby. It's a good question.
This should not be a difficult answer.
Well, I'm thinking if Sherry's calling, it's not good, right?
Well, no, she's let you know, like, "Hey, listen, we're on the way to the hospital. He got hit in the face or whatever."
In the
face? Do you ask, like, how bad? Or do you say, "Okay, I'll be right there"?
What quarter are we in?
This is tied last couple minutes of the third quarter.
Last couple minutes of the third quarter.
There's no way you're going.
I'd have to do a deeper dive. No, I might. I'd have to do it. I would. I'm not sure. I'd have to do a deeper dive into the extent of the injuries. If she's like, look, I think it's going to be fine. It's precautionary. I don't think I go. If she said, listen, I'm very concerned. The doctors are they're taking him for a CAT scan right now. I would go.
No, I feel like you would say, well, call me when he's out of the CAT scan and I'll meet
no,
you.
No, I think if he needed imaging, I think there is my line of demarcation. If he needs imaging, I think I have to go. And I think I should go.
You are an absolute savage.
I haven't missed a Giants game in 43 years.
Yeah, but the fact that you're Dave Jr. is on the couch. Like, you understand what you're doing right now. Dave Jr. on the couch asked you the question just out of nowhere. He's deep in thought. Hey, Dad, if he was hurt, if Ben was hurt, would you go?
It wasn't even hurt. It was specific. If Ben is beamed in the head. Like, Alex, why would you say that? Well, I just want to see what happens.
Oh, man. I don't know if the world's ready for another Dave, and I feel like that's on its way. I feel like Alex is poised to be the next Dave Rothenberg.
Oh, look at what has happened.
Nicer than me, though. He's it's bizarre. He's a savage, but he's really kind.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, he also prioritizes better. Like, he wants to watch football. It's a priority for him. If he got a call that someone else was in peril, he's done. He would get up and go.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. I mean, you're the same guy that wouldn't go bail your buddy out, like your real close friend, out of jail.
No. Well, listen, you're going to be dumb enough to be drunk and to be driving? Why should I now have to pay the price for that? Right?
Well, no. I mean, listen, it's his own fault. But still, I mean, it's supposed to be a close friend.
He was a close friend. But why should I have to bail him out? I shouldn't. It's a stupid decision by him. And he should have to pay the consequences. Tough love.
I mean, it's more than tough love, though. I mean, at a certain point, like, you can chastise him, but be like,
well,
hey,
you know what? And also, what kind of life decision are you making? You get one phone call and you're calling me on a Sunday?
Yeah, you're right. I blame him for that. I'm not calling you. No chance.
If you needed help, a Sunday, 2:00, you need desperate help. Are you calling me?
No, I can't even. You won't even answer the phone just to have a chat on a Sunday.
I will not. I don't want you calling me on Sundays. I don't even like texting you on Sundays. I've said that before. We have this group text back and forth, boom, 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 ding, ding, ding. I get stuff 2:30, 3:00, 4:00 during the games. I'm like, oh, God, what are these guys doing?
And yet you tweet.
Yeah, it's cathartic for me.
Yeah, great.
It's cathartic for me.
Great. Everyone needs to know your thoughts during the game, but your poor show unit, your friends,
you know what I think people, I think people greatly appreciate my thoughts during the game.
Nothing I can do! First down! Oh, my God!
They would appreciate Instagram Live during the game, I think.
Yeah, but that's too much. I'm not ready for that.
Oh, I just have someone else film it. I'm going to say
no, because I don't think the world is ready for that.
No, I think the world is exactly... I mean, you just told us that you wouldn't leave. I mean, if your kid got hit in the face with a baseball, you would consider staying home for the football game.
Well, no, face and head are different. If there's facial fracture or something like that, I think I'd up and go.
Potential broken nose. You're staying home.
I get yelled at for this.
You said imaging.
Image. Yeah, no. Potential broken nose. I think I probably up and go.
No, I think you stay home.
No, I don't know.
She says, maybe broken nose. You say imaging. She says, no, it's a broken nose. Okay, I'll see you when you get home.
I got in trouble for that, too. Did I tell you this story? When he had the baseball tournament over the summer. He got hit in the face, right? He's a shortstop, hard ground ball, took a bad hop on a bad field, hits him in the nose, blood pouring from the nose. Comes to the dugout, they take him out of the game. He actually asks if he can bat in the bottom of the inning. He does. We get home. Sherry's in a lacrosse tournament with Alex. We're home, and he's like, Dad, I wasn't happy with how I hit. Can we go hit in the basement? I'm like, sure, let's go. Hitting in the basement, Sherry comes home from the lacrosse tournament, and why is there blood? Why is his face swollen? I said, oh, he got hit in the face. Did you think to go to a doctor? Did you think to take a picture and send it to one of the many ENTs that you know? Did you think about doing anything? I said, yeah, I thought about hitting because he said, Dad, he didn't hit well. Can we go downstairs and hit? So I don't think I'm working with a full deck.
No, I think we've established that.
What do you think I'm working with? 52 cards, full deck. I got like 40?
No, less.
Not even like what, 30?
Yeah, I put you at 30. I stand by this. You got 30 of the 52 that makes you like a complete human being. That 22 is all Stump Rothenberg knowledge.
So the 22 cards are Stump Rothenberg. The other 30 are like normal life questions and answers.
Yeah, like, you know, like the movie Inside Out?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's it. So it'd be like, you have anger, obviously, that's a big one. Then, like, you know, all the other different emotions. And then you have the rest, which is like the biggest one, which is, you know, where did so-and-so go to school?
Yeah.
He's Sal what? Romano.
Yes. Yes, in fact. Yes, in fact, I do. Vinny Jones tweets in, imagine being in jail. You get one call and you have to think, what time is it? Because I can only call this one guy at a specific time to be able to get bailed out. Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, you wouldn't be. I mean, I'm telling you right now, like, people, I think, just know this because they know you now, is that you wouldn't be anybody's. The only call that... The first call for Rothenberg for any friend is trivia. That's it. Any life emergency.
I don't agree.
What do you mean?
Non-important sporting event. I'm going to be there all the time for you.
But I don't want to take that chance, though, with you. Because you'll find some fakakta excuse, like there'll be a tennis match on or something would be going on where you're just lazy.
There's an Edberg McEnroe rewind from 86. How dare... Who are you? How dare you? Listen, I stand by. You don't call me Sunday between 1 and 11, and I will be there for you. Saturday, college football, Bama, Florida, I up and leave. Friday night, high school football, Texas, I'm there. Don't call me Thursday, nothing on Sunday, nothing on Monday. And I'll be there for you.
All right. I'll put that in my reminders. If it's not Thursday, Sunday, or Monday, you can call Dave. Otherwise,
100%. I mean, I'm not traveling to other states for dinner for you, but if you're in peril, I'm there for you.
All right. Well, this is a step in the right direction with our relationship.
That's right. Maybe 32 cards. Maybe.
We'll see how many cards you can add.
Just Jen tweets, I appreciate Rothenberg ESPN tweeting on Sundays. It's comedy. I need it while watching the Jets. That's hard enough for me.
Forget just the Jets. I mean, New York football, period.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, I know we love RJ, but are you sure this is the guy we want producing our show?
Yeah, I mean, I love RJ. What would happen?
I love him, too. You don't know what he just said to me, though.
Well, no, I couldn't hear it. He said it to you. What did he say?
So, you know, we're at the break, and he, you know, to talk to me, he's got to press a button and actually think of what he wants to say, and then it makes sense. Presses the button, says, boy, how about the Reds? They're going to be a playoff team, huh? I said, no, they're not. He goes, yeah, no, they are. I said, no, actually, they're not. They're four games in the loss column behind the Cardinals.
So, they're three games back. But their schedule, you made me doubt myself, but here's their schedule the rest of the way. The Pirates, they won last night, and no one cares about this, so we'll move on. And then the Nats, and then two against the White Sox, and then three against the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cardinals need to stay as hot as they are to hold that spot. It's not that...
It's a four-game in the loss column lead.
Oh, it's a three-game-back situation.
It's a terrible
team. Can I ask...
What?
Does these final standings in regards to the Cincinnati Reds and the St. Louis Cardinals, does it have anything to do with any monetary things that you've got going on?
No.
You sure?
100%.
It's terrible that I even have to ask this, but your reaction makes me think that.
Well, I'll tell you why, and we'll get to the Yankees in a nanosecond. I'll tell you why. Because RJ is like, he's the backbone. He's the brains behind the brains of the show. And for RJ to have a terrible take like that worries me that maybe marriage is not sitting well with him doing his job.
I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. I just don't think it's that crazy.
Yeah, but that's what you said. You didn't.
Yeah,
say,
I wouldn't discount the Mets either. Let's not forget the Mets.
Mets are right there. I mean, you did say it's not like you popped on. You're like, hey, Dave, you know what, boy, the Reds they still are alive for a playoff spot. So I said, yeah, you know what, RJ, they're alive. You said, quote, look at the Reds, they're going to be a playoff team, and that's just not true.
All right. Well,
all right. Let's move forward.
Very critical of you, RJ. I don't know if I like it. Well, I mean, I do kind of like it because
I hold him to a high standard.
You did go against my Jets this weekend, and you loved every second of it.
Successfully so. I mean, what an easy pick that was.
Being a great pick by him. Great pick.
Good job by you, RJ. We're all alive in the Survivor Pool, by the way, which comes your way at 6:45 this Friday morning, our selection. Some good solid games. He might go against the Jets again this week and take Denver.
Would you be surprised? Would you be surprised at all?
No, it's the biggest spread of the week. It is the biggest spread of the week in the NFL. I might, and I don't know that I will, I might give you some real, real interesting rooting on Thursday. I could go Carolina. I used to gamble a lot for Survivor.
Could. I have the future of RJ's wedding at my house right now. The future of it, just sitting.
You didn't sign it still?
I just got it yesterday. It's just sitting here, waiting for my signature.
So you got to sign it.
Depending on how he acts, I could sign it and they could be officially married. Or I could say, you know what? I don't think I will.
See? And at that moment, he'll say, I should have hired Dave as my wedding.
You were
officiant.
Late for the wedding. Of course
I wouldn't
you
have been had I been
Dave.
Running point. Everyone was late.
No,
I walked in with all
time.
Of ESPN.
Kay was on time. Don was on time. The only guy I needed there on time who was actually in the ceremony was not there on time.
Who?
You.
Why did you need me? I wasn't involved. I wasn't asked to do a chore, a job, nothing.
You were my monologue.
And right there is the issue with in my monologue. In my monologue. What are you, Dennis Leary, in my monologue?
I was told to loosen up the crowd a little bit.
Stop it. Was that a roast? You're performing a man's wedding.
Can we
get to the Yankees, please?
Please, let's get to the Yankees. They won last day. Let's get to them.
God's sakes, they finally win a game. Didn't look great in doing it. Bullpen was good. Cortez was good for four, and they left him in for too long. Got very dicey. But at the end of the day, Yankees win. Toronto loses. We are down to 13 days left now in the baseball season. 11 games left for your fancy Yankees.
Yeah, 11 games left. But, I mean, when you look at what they have ahead, I mean, they got to take care of business.
These next two have to be victories. They have to
take care of business.
How many times have we said they have to figure out a way to win this game against Baltimore or this game against Cleveland or this game against another substandard team, and they don't?
No, they don't. And I mean, it's as, you know, since that 13-game winning streak, they're 8-15.
Ugh.
Right? I mean, they have to pick it up in a hurry right now down the stretch because, I mean, you lose that game to Baltimore, which was gross. And then you're looking at this Cleveland series, like, okay, obviously you'd love the sweep, but we got to win the series. We got to take two or three. And you get off to a fast start, and then you get your teeth kicked in for the next two. And then last night, I mean, you had plenty of opportunities to pull away in that game. But again, in typical Yankee fashion this year, they made it difficult on themselves. And now you got relievers in high leverage situations. You got to bring in Green, and then you got to bring in Holmes. And I mean, it's just, this team is too good on paper to make things this difficult consistently.
These are bad teams. I mean, Baltimore, worst record in baseball. Texas, I think they have the third worst record in baseball. Cleveland, sub 500. You should not be losing games. These teams are, you know this, they are just, the season ends when? Get me there, we're done. And somehow the Yankees lose? I mean, do you know, I'm looking at it right now, I can't even believe it. What Baltimore's run differential is?
No, it's crazy.
Take a guess at Baltimore's run differential, and then we'll do Texas's.
Baltimore's run differential?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to say it's minus... I did my little algorithm yesterday. Yeah, let me put it in the algorithm. Minus 248.
Okay. RJ, who's obviously a baseball savant, what do you say? Baltimore's run differential.
It's going to be very bad, obviously. Minus, would you say two what, Rick?
248.
248.
Oh. You're close. I'm going to say they're so bad. I'm going to say minus 300.
Ooh.
That's Raymond.
Might be too much.
Three bills.
I'm going to be Price is Right guy. I'll say minus 299.
You two are over. Rick wins minus 274.
Why would you? You played the game wrong. You would go minus 249. You jackwagon.
Yeah, he doesn't understand.
He was confident nailing on the number.
You don't take one less than the guy that potentially went over. Dumbass.
Yeah. Oh God.
You can tell I haven't watched the show
Price
much.
Is Right style.
Have you ever watched The Price is Right?
I can't say that I do often.
My God. You totally butchered
Price
that.
Is Right style. Give me $2.99.
Oh, my God. The closest you've gotten to the Price is Right is when these guys were cheating when we were doing the Price is Right game months ago.
I didn't have anything to do with that. I don't know what you're
talking about.
I'm
not saying you did. Clearly you didn't. I mean, that, what are you doing?
Oh, look at what has happened.
$299.
I will go minus $299. No. But let's not bury the lead here. Minus $274 for Baltimore.
Yeah, but he can't win, though. You're burying the lead at $299.
I understand, but I don't need to spend an hour discussing how Raymond doesn't understand the concept of the Price is Right.
But he can't.
It's just not for
Ray. Unless he hits it on $299, he can't win.
Right. You took yourself completely out of the mix.
You eliminated yourself from the game.
That is the definition of you painted yourself into the corner. You actually painted yourself into the corner, and then you're like, now I can't get out.
You legitimately took a knee on the game.
On fourth down.
But yes. Accidentally so.
You punted on first down.
Yeah. You're like Brady there, thinking that it was fourth down again.
No. You're thinking Kirk Cousins.
No, Brady. Remember last year against Chicago and Brady thought it was fourth down?
That's true. That's true.
No, you're like Mike McCarthy with the clock at the end of that game.
Yeah, but at least he allegedly could blame the clock.
Of course he's got his scapegoat there. Anyhow.
That could be the greatest drop in the history of the show.
Well, I can't believe how wild right you are style. Over that drop. That really moved the needle for you, huh?
What? Because I'm going to go with such confidence. I'm going to go Price is Right style. Give me $299.
Yeah. Was not good. It was not good.
It's the worst. It's the worst guess in the history. Drew Carey would have kicked you off the show.
Drew Carey vomited. We have a live look into Drew Carey. He actually threw up on himself when Raymond said $299.
Bob Barker would have spayed and neutered you after that guess. Give me $299.
Baltimore. Minus $274, Rick. You win. And you only win because Raymond has no understanding of how to play. If he would have guessed $249, guess who wins? Ray.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine if they... Raymond Santiago, come on down. And he goes, a box of Goya beans. And everyone's, you know, these guesses. And he goes up with one of his patented... All right, Drew. All right, let me go... Hey, Drew, how you doing? And he's got, like, the big Raymond name tag.
I am personally insulted that you go right to Goya beans, by the way.
What do you mean?
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Well, no, you've mentioned on the show how many you buy quite a bit of big... Like, you mentioned this before. You buy a lot of beans.
I don't think I've ever said that on these airwaves. Nah, I'm personally insulted.
Is Bounty
insulted.
Better for you?
Nah, I'm insulted by both of you.
A roll of Bounty, is that better for you?
Yeah, I think you're making it worse.
I'm making it worse with a roll of Bounty?
I think you're making it worse.
A bottle of Windex.
Any cleaning supply at the moment. Any cleaning. Clorox wipes.
Clorox wipes. Yes.
Clorox wipes.
Anyhow, Texas. 55-95, their run differential. Here's what we're going to do. Let's give Raymond a second chance.
No.
Texas's run differential. Rick, what are you saying?
I'm going to say it's better than Baltimore. I'm going to go minus... I'm going to go minus one... Minus 160... 167. Minus 167.
167, RJ?
Minus 199.
Raymond, would you like to go? Would you like to go 198?
What did Rick say? 167?
Yes.
I'll go 170.
Now, why would you go 170 though?
Yes.
Why not? Well,
why would you risk it?
You why would you? Why would you? Why we'll go 168?
I was going higher.
But no. Why?
Yeah, but if you go 170. And it ends up being 168 or 169, you lose.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm not trying. But I'm not trying to go. Oh, it's got to go over. I didn't think it would be less than that. So.
Oh my God.
he doesn't understand.
Right. What are you doing? Like the first time, I didn't even think it was as awful as Rick did. But the second time, might be more concerning. Because we just went over it, taught you, and you're still doing it incorrectly.
But I'm not trying. I'm not playing it that way, though.
But that's the way you play. Can you imagine him in Atlantic City? All right, sir, you have a 19. Hit me. But, sir, you have a 19. It goes to 21. I'm not playing it that way, ma'am.
Sir, you cannot move your bishop that way. No, yeah. I'm playing my own way.
Yes. It's just not for Ray.
If you drop that checker in, you will block me going for four in a row. I don't care. It's not how I'm playing the game. Ray?
Tag, you're it. No, I'm not.
No, I'm not. Why? I don't play it like that.
I don't play that way.
Okay. I'm sorry, Drew. It doesn't work like that. No. Ray, you do win, but no credit goes to you whatsoever. Texas, -177.
Oh, my goodness.
These are putrid teams. The point I was trying to make before Ray completely sabotaged the segment is the Yankees are playing and losing to putrid baseball teams. It has to stop. Cleveland, for the love of the show, we won't go into Cleveland's run differential, but they're -19. But I won't have you guys guess.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Fergoli Delusion tweets to me. This is a great tweet. Gotta love him saying, quote, "I'm not playing that way," just moments after saying, "I'll go with the Price is Right and say this number."
That was the funniest thing I've heard in weeks.
I'm going to be Price is Right guy. I'll say -299.
I'm going to be Price is Right guy.
and then with the next guess, you're not playing the Price is Right way. You really are a treasure.
Oh, my God.
You really. Maybe you shouldn't play fantasy football. Maybe that is the wise move.
Yes, I'm not a degenerate gambler like most people on the show.
Oh, yeah, because only 1.9 billion people in the world play fantasy football.
Speaking of gambling, too, by the way, how bad did you feel for that guy last night?
After if that guy was worth his salt, if that guy was even remotely intelligent, he is betting big money the other way.
Yeah, if he has the big money to bet the other way.
So can we explain what it is, guy? What, like a 16-team parlay?
Yeah, and right? Every game. Every
hit the
game
first
hit
15... The 16th game was on the Lions with the money line. So then you have to bet huge amounts on the Packers with the money line. You have to, no?
If you have if you have huge money to do that, yeah.
Okay. You find a shady person who's wealthy and you say, "Listen, give me $300,000. I will give you your money. I'll give you $310,000 tonight." And you bet 300 grand on the Packers to win outright. And then at least you win what? At least like 100 grand?
Yeah, that would make the most sense. But
right?
You're talking about a guy who made a $25 bet on a 16-game parlay.
And he was win away. And there were moments in that game last night where it looked like he might win.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit played great in the first half. And then the real Packers showed up in the second half.
Yep.
I don't know about the Packers this year, man. I don't know about that defense.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, but you know what? Things change. It's a long season, so I'm not ready to give up on them yet. We'll get to football later. We will get to football later. So guess what? And I don't even like the Yankees, but I'm watching the game, and I was infuriated watching the game last night. First inning, what do you think it was?
It was the wild pitch, no?
Yeah. I mean, that was, if you watch that again, it was so lazy. How can a guy that is dragged through the mud for his lack of attention to detail and the way he catches in a all-important game like that, make that play right away during a critical moment of the first inning of the game last night?
That's a great question. But, I mean, you saw it later in the game, too, with Chad Green cost him a run. And that one looked like he was crossed up. I don't know. Like, that's the most frustrating thing about Gary Sanchez. I don't know what's going through his mind. You heard some of it on the telecast last night as far as him being knee down to improve his framing. And then, you know, Coney comes through with the stat that of 60 ranked catchers for framing, he ranks 55th. Ugh. So, I mean, it's like, what's more important at that point? I mean, the only reason he's...
I keep the ball in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, that's costing you runs. I mean, again, it cost you a run last night. Guy gets the third. Now, all of a sudden, sac fly scores him as opposed to you keep him on second and you're out of that inning. Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, the only reason you keep... I mean, but you got two... Unfortunately, right now, you got two guys in your lineup like that. Right? You got... I mean, and it's crazy. I don't know what's happened to them both, but, I mean, between Sanchez and Torres...
Yep.
If they don't produce offensively at an elite level, I mean... There's no use having them in your lineup.
Which you don't. But I mean, I'm at the point where... And we'll get into this during the offseason, certainly. How do you bring Sanchez back to catch for you next year?
Oh, I don't know if you can.
I don't think you can.
But again, I mean, you listen to Boone and the metrics and everything that they're using. I mean, he's saying he's improved.
Yeah, but that's what Boone does. We've discussed this ad nauseum. Like, Boone is going to find the ray of sunshine in anything.
Yeah, correct. That's why they brought him in. I mean, that's what managing coaching is about now, is protecting your players. I understand that. I mean, you also have to look at, like, who's replacing Gary Sanchez. I mean, defensively, it's clear. Higashioka is a much better defensive catcher.
Not even
close. The pitchers all would prefer to throw to Higgy. I mean, you look at defensive run saved. Gary's one of the worst in baseball, catching-wise. He's minus nine defensive run saved. Minus nine. And Higashioka's plus four.
That's a big
disparity. But, I mean, where do you go? I mean, who do you replace Gary?
Well, I don't know that you make that decision now, but I think this is an offseason that you need to actually conglomerate and be like, how do we bring this guy back again?
Well, I think there's a fear for them.
The fear is we trade him away and he realizes his potential. I'm at the point where I don't see how he realizes his potential.
Well, the problem is you've seen his potential. When he burst onto the scene, you saw what he's capable of doing. Like, Gary Sanchez as the Kraken is one of the best offensive catchers in baseball. But
when was the last time you saw Gary Sanchez as the Kraken?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is... Like, Gary Sanchez is one of those guys that's good enough to get you fired because he has so much potential and you hate to give up on him because you know what he's capable of doing. But for some reason, I don't know if it's the pressure beat in New York, they've beat him down so much mentally with the defense and everything else that... You know, maybe it's in his best interest too to have a change of scenery.
Yeah, I think that could be the way, and maybe go to like a real small market team, or he's not.
Yeah,
but
the problem, Dave, is here's the problem though, because you know all these Yankees fans that call Cashman's got to get fired and everything else, and I'm sitting here, my GM just got pinched for a DUI. Like my Mets can't figure it out. Like if Cashman got fired, I would hire him in a second. I'd go pick him up and drive him to City Field.
Gone further for lunch for Cassie. So yes.
Exactly right. I don't care where he is. If Brian Cashman got fired and for some reason was in L.A., I would drive cross country to go pick
him
up.
You would drive to L.A. and drive him back?
Yes. If he was like, I don't really want to fly, I'd say, listen, Steve Cohen, Sandy, I'll be your Huckleberry. I will drive to L.A. to go pick him up. That's how badly I would want Brian Cashman.
Yeah, I think he'd be a tremendous upgrade for the Mets. But so, and I like Cashman. I think he's smart and he's good. But you can't deny that this has been a bad year for the Yankees.
It has been a bad year. But is that so much Cashman, or is it the fact that the guys, you know, outside of
Judge?
I mean, Judge for sure. I mean, Stanton for the most part has stayed healthy. He's had a pretty good. I mean, he's had a good year. That's not, you know, National League MVP kind of numbers, but
he's had a good-ish year. Yeah,
the fact that he can play the outfield now is a bonus. But, I mean, you just gave DJ LeMahieu a long-term deal. He's not the same player. Voight's been hurt. Should have traded
Voight.
That's the one negative thing I'll say about Brian Cashman, because there's a ton of positives. Let's face it. I mean, bringing in Clay Holmes was a nice move. Everyone was, I can't believe you traded Mike Tauchman. You bring in Waldy Peralta. He's been great. You have somehow you got Joey Gallo, and the Rangers are paying for it. You got Anthony Rizzo, and the Cubs are paying for it.
Yeah, so but all these things are true, and I'm not saying he's been horrendous at the job. If you don't go to the postseason, you were the heavy favorites to win the American League. If you don't go to the postseason, some heads have to roll there in the Bronx. No,
yeah, but I don't think it's gonna be Brian Cashman.
I don't think so either. So
I'll say this though. You're not letting me get to my point though. The only negative I'll say about Brian Cashman is that I do get the feeling that he does fall in love with his players. And this year particularly, especially in the offseason, he's waited too long. We kept talking about how flush with prospects and everything else the Yankees were. If they needed to go make a move, they had the bullets to go make that move. They had Clint Frazier. They had, I mean, you name it. What are you going to do with Miguel Andujar? It's a great trade piece. Well, no, that's not the case anymore.
Right. Look at Aaron Hicks. You need to send Aaron Hicks to a long-term deal? Not a good move.
Well, financially, they thought it made sense. And that's another guy he found, though. That's his guy.
So he falls in love with these guys, and then he will defend them to the
We
to
said
the
it at the
degree.
Time. We said it at the time, though. I mean, Luke Voit coming off that season. They should have traded Luke Voit.
Of course they should. But it was so obvious. It was so obvious. So now what? If they don't make it, and again, they're right there. Let me give you the standings up to the moment this morning. Boston, 86-65, and they have the Mets at home starting tonight. Toronto, and there's never been a bigger Tampa fan than Yankee fans right now. Toronto, who lost to Tampa last night, almost came back, lost with the bases loaded in the ninth inning. They're 84-66. They're at Tampa again tonight. And then the Yankees, 84-67. Oakland, 82-68. Seattle beat Oakland last night. And Seattle, 81-69. So the Yankees are half a game behind Toronto. One game in the loss column behind Toronto. Two in the loss column behind Boston right now.
This is a tough couple days for Yankees fans right now. You got to root like hell for Tampa, and you got to root like hell for the Mets.
Yep.
Got to swallow your pride. That was a huge win for them. I mean, if you're a Yankees fan, Tampa beating Robbie Ray last night was huge.
Huge. And they trailed in the game. And this is why those final couple games of the season, everyone says, well, Tampa will have nothing to play for and they'll just mail it in. Uh-uh. I don't believe that at all. I think Tampa would love to beat the Yankees those final couple of games.
Of course. Well, do yourself a favor, too. I mean, you're talking about, you know, run differentials and everything else.
I mean, I don't want to play, though, again, because I don't want to play that either. That stress,
But look at Toronto's remaining schedule. They got Minnesota. They got Baltimore. I mean, they finish off with Baltimore as opposed to the Yankees finishing off with Tampa.
Right.
The Yankees cannot afford to lose these games to Texas. They can't.
No. You have to win both of these games, and then you get a day off on Thursday, and then it gets tough. Then it's what? It's Toronto, Boston, Tampa. Final nine games of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, Aaron Judge is not wrong. I mean, they do control their own destiny. But, I mean, as a Yankees fan right now, after what felt like, okay, trade deadline, you know, the pieces finally fit now. We added the left-handed bats that we needed. I mean, would they have a 6.5 game lead in the wild card?
Yeah, and now they're outside looking in on the wild card.
Here's my favorite part, though, is 13-game winning streak. Oh, I think the Yankees, I got people saying, I think the Yankees are going to win the World Series. To where we're at now. Where they're clawing to try to make.
This has to be one of the most frustrating seasons for a Yankees fan. It has to be.
Has to be.
Because talent-wise, there's no way they should be on the outside looking in. No way.
No. And listen, for the most part, too, I mean, your best player, who hasn't stayed healthy in the past, has stayed healthy and had a great year. Right? I mean, Judge had a great year.
He's had a phenomenal year.
I mean, all the complaining about Stanton, I mean, he's had a good year. He's actually playing the outfield now, which has been big. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't one person we had on the show. I mean, Buster, Kirkchen, you name it, that didn't have, I mean, I've heard Passan, that didn't have the Yankees in the World Series.
Right. But certainly nobody had them missing the postseason.
No.
And look at Boston. I mean, the fact that Boston is two games in the loss column ahead of you with less than 2 weeks to play, Boston's not more talented than the Yankees.
No, they were ravaged by COVID.
And then, I mean, listen, what they've done this year is phenomenal. Offensively, they're excellent. Their pitching, the starting pitching is mediocre. I mean, they didn't have their star pitcher for almost the entirety of the season, and their bullpen is average at best.
It's been better, though. I mean, the pitching has been better for them. As opposed, last year, the pitching was terrible.
Terrible. Well, they were one of the worst teams in baseball in the shortened season. But this season, nobody expected Boston to be 86-65 right now and leading the wild card.
No, but again, I mean, you sit here and you want to blame Brian Cashman, which is fine. I mean, that's fine. You can blame Brian Cashman. You can blame Aaron Boone. But when you look at the teams that you're chasing right now and you look at their best players are having representative seasons, right?
Devers has been great. Bogarts has been great. No, you're
Martinez
right.
Martinez has been good. And then look at Toronto.
Oh, well, Guerrero's out of this world good.
Well, what do you mean? Guerrero's having an MVP caliber season.
Hernandez is incredible. Gurriel's having a good year. Simeon's having a good year. Bichette's having a good year. You're right.
You got Robbie Ray, who's probably going to win the Cy Young.
It's probably, him or Cole. Cole kind of let it get away the other night. So you tell me then, who do you blame for the Yankees right now?
I blame the players?
You blame Cash?
First and foremost, I blame the players.
The players.
Yeah.
All right, so is it fair to say if the Yankees miss out here, there's no way you can bring this crop of players back next year then?
I don't see how you do that.
You think Boone returns?
You're doing the same thing.
You think Aaron Boone is back?
Well, if it's not Aaron Boone, here's the thing, though. If you don't fire Brian Cashman, if it's not Aaron Boone, it's not going to be who Yankees fans want. It's not going to be Buck Showalter.
No.
Manager like that. It's going to be a version of Aaron Boone is what you're going to have.
It's going to be a yes man.
Yeah, a collaborator. They like to call it collaboration.
Well, I like to call it a yes man.
The other thing, too, with Cashman was and we questioned this from the start, was the starting pitching. And there was the hope that Severino would be back. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, he had a bunch of setbacks. He's now back, but in the bullpen. You know, Kluber got hurt. Tyone's now hurt.
But how surprised can you be that Kluber got hurt?
You can't be.
How surprised can you be that Tyone got hurt?
Well, I mean, me and you said it at the time. I get, like, and Tyone was good. I mean, Tyone was good. He was a pleasant surprise. I get, I mean, he, with his age and the potential, I get taking a flyer on Tyone. I get that, right? What we didn't get at the time was Charlie Morton told you he wants to be in Tampa. That's where he lives. That's where you have spring training, in Tampa. He didn't sign for crazy money.
No. Nope.
Has tons of
And it was only a one-year deal, right?
Yeah. He just, I mean, they just re-upped him. But he's got a ton of playoff success. Why have a flyer on Corey Kluber that's always hurt when Charlie Morton is staring you in the face?
Yeah,
like, one, I
sense.
Get. Like, right? Like, one, I get. Like, Tyone, I would get. But two, especially with Herman not pitching and just coming back, and then Severino coming off Tommy John.
And look at where we are. I mean, starting pitching has been, and thank God for Cortez, right?
Thank God for Cortez.
Thank God for those guys.
No, Cortez has been, I mean, you want to give an MVP this season outside of Judge?
Cortez has been phenomenal.
Cortez would be right there. The fact that Nasty Nestor is the second pitcher in your rotation that you trust the most is a problem. I mean, that's no offense to him. That's by definition a problem.
A major problem. You're the Yankees and he's your second best pitcher. It's a major, major problem. Brian in Milburn. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing? I love this show. It's funny. My biggest thing, I think, you know, what Rick always got on me when I call about the analytic thing, I think it was just too heavy analytics. And if he really brings Boone, if they're telling him, you got to follow this to the team, if not, you're going to have to be called on the carpet, like Tate said. I go, if he, like he had an interview with Cashman, you know, if the person make a decision, it's going to be called on the carpet. So is it really his fault?
No, see, that's why I blame the players. No, it's tough in baseball now. Because you don't know who's making the decisions. I mean, we sit here and we kill Luis Rojas, and you know it's not Luis Rojas making these decisions. They sit down before the game, and they have, you know, a meeting discussing, like, hey, this is when we're going to use this guy. This is his lane. This is his lane. This is this matchup. What's changed now, and you heard Coney kind of allude to it last night, is it's not just like we're going to go righty-righty or lefty-lefty. It's, you know, how does this guy's stuff play with whoever's swing path? I mean, you've heard, Dave, how many times have you heard Rojas say that, and you're like, oh, my God.
All the time. Drives me insane.
Well, you know, his sinker plays well with, you know, this hitter's swing path. And it's like, dude, you just watched, like, Familia's been awful his last two outings. And now you're trying to sell me swing path?
Yeah, it really is very, very frustrating. 98.7 ESPN giving away up to $2,000 every week of the football season with the Pigskin payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in. So get your bets ready. Be listening in the 7 o'clock hour today for your chance to win only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. I have someone on hold. I don't know that it's going to necessarily be the conversation that we are having, but it may entertain you. I will run it by you. Would you like to hear from Omar in Brooklyn?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't heard from him in a while. He's
that was very lukewarm.
No, let's hear from him.
Yeah?
Oh, he's kind of, listen, I'm kind of down on Omar.
Never.
Why?
Because you know, Omar likes calling when Omar likes calling, as opposed to, like, you know, when we need him.
Right. So what works for Omar is when he's willing to call in.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
We're supposed to wedge him in whenever he wants.
Right. It's a valid point. So maybe we don't take him.
I think we give him one. I mean, it's NFL season now. We give him one chance here.
You know what this is about. You know what this is about. The Bills had a huge win, and now Omar is calling and enjoying the moment. All right, well, we'll give it a try. We'll see how it works out. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
How are you? Good morning, guys. How are you?
Where you been?
Listen, let me tell you, I have been working 15 to 16 hours. I do not have on my car. I cannot even listen to your show because I have an old-time radio. I don't even have time to fix up the radio on my car because I've been working 15, 16 hours. And I've been, listening to you. And when I heard about it, like this show, I wanted to call, but I don't have time because I'm doing two jobs. And the guy was out. I'm doing two guys' jobs at this time. Starts at 9 o'clock in the night. I've been working up to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been driving and driving. You know,
all right, Omar. All right. We'll let you slide this time. And Santi hung up on Omar.
You're cutting him off and shouting. All right, Omar.
Why? Well, I was going to now let him get to his point.
Call back, Omar.
Ray.
Wow.
What?
Let's go, Bills.
Rick, did you think I was hanging up on him?
No, Santy is.
I was saying, like, all right, Omar, we get your whole sob story. Now get to your point. And you hung up on him?
You're going, all right, Omar. It's 5:57. I figured you'd take Omar on the other side of the hour.
Raymond, here's the thing. When I make a mistake, I own it. When Rick makes a mistake, he typically will own it. Just admit that the first hour of today's show has. I made a mistake
before. Like? I'm not taking one here. Absolutely
this
not.
You basically are giving us the technical engineer version of Mike McCarthy running the clock. That's what you're doing this first
hour.
No,
not at all. Because I'm not blaming any technical issue. I'm just saying.
So you are taking the blame on your own.
If you want to call it blame, sure, go for it.
Why did you hang up on Omar?
I just told you why.
Poor right. guy's been working two jobs. He's done
He just told you 16 hours a day.
Yeah, I know that feeling. That's right. Pretty terrible.
So I think if anyone would give him a little leeway, it in fact would be you, first and foremost.
Omar can call back. He's fine. He's welcome. I apologize.
And that's all we were looking for. Just the simple apology. Omar, if you'd like to get back on the show, you're welcome to call back.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.